This is a third of three abbreviated lessons to get us caught back up with the schedule in the quarterly we're currently going through. This portion of the lesson is entitled Values, and it deals with sanctity of life issues and coincides with National Sanctity of Life, Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, which is today. The material in this lesson is a bit out of line with the normal flow through Deuteronomy, but next week we'll get things back into line. From Genesis 1:26, we're told that man is a special creation of God, made in his own image. I think it's worthwhile to sit back and let that sink in. We don't have time this morning, but I hope you'll carry that thought home with you and dwell on it a bit. As I mentioned, today is National Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Our church acknowledges this, and it'll be mentioned from the pulpit this morning. A little history. On January the 22nd, 1973, in the Roe v. Wade case, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that women had a right to an abortion on demand if they so desired. On January 13th, 1984, President Ronald Reagan issued a proclamation designating Sunday, January 22nd, 1984, as National Sanctity of Human Life Day, noting that it was the 11th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. In doing so, President Reagan, who was a strong pro-life advocate, commented that in Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court struck down our laws protecting the lives of unborn children. Reagan issued the proclamation annually thereafter, designated National Sanctity of Human Life Day, to be the closest Sunday to the original date, January 22, 1984. Some presidents since Reagan have continued that pattern. The proclamation of National Sanctity of Human Life Day has been heralded by the National Right to Life organizations as a wonderful statement of what pro-life movement is all about. Interestingly, and not surprisingly, reproductive rights group like Norrell Pro-Choice America and Planned Parenthood have denounced it, saying it signals the desire to roll back the rights of women. Pro-life is a controversial issue and will likely remain so. Some people consider justice as the equitable and fair distribution of all resources to all people. Others see it as giving everyone what they are due. Still others see justice as allowing people to freely express themselves as long as they're doing so doesn't violate another person's right to do the same. Each of these are hard to accomplish without some form of authority to define fairness. For National Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, our lesson material considers issues of abortion, euthanasia, and physically assisted suicide. Because of the time we have, this abbreviated lesson will not go as deeply as the quarterly did or as the subject deserves, but we will give a good overview. In ancient Israel, all people highly valued children. The Israelites could commit heinous crimes. Some Israelites, following the pagan cult of Baal, even sacrificed their children, according to Jeremiah 7:31. But it seems that abortion was something they did not do. The topic never appears in biblical texts. Similarly, euthanasia and suicide make almost no appearance in the Bible. One place suicide does appear is in 1 Samuel 31:4. There, King Saul, who had been defeated and gravely wounded by the Philistines in the last battle of his life, was talking to his armor bearer. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and run me through with it, or these uncircumcised men will come and run me through and torture me." But his armor bearer would not do it because he was terrified. Then Saul took his own sword and fell on it. The narrative implies that the armor bearer had scruples about striking down the king, even as a mercy killing. But the Bible makes no comment on the events. It only reports what happened. Therefore, we must look at what the Bible says generally about taking a human life. Let's read our highlighted verses for today's lessons. First, there is Deuteronomy 5:17 under the heading of prohibition. Then there's Deuteronomy 19:4-10. Under the heading of grace, and Deuteronomy 19:11-13 under the heading of justice. Deuteronomy 5:17 reads, "Do not murder." That's pretty clear. Important here is the exact Hebrew word used in the verse, harashah. It's spelled R-A-T-S-A-C-H, but the R is silent apparently in the pronunciation of harashah. The exact meaning of this word in our English language is often debated. The word, harashta, is never used for the killing of an animal or for a lawful execution or killing in battle. Thus, the word harashta refers to killing a human being without legal sanction. In Deuteronomy 19, 1 through 3, just prior to our next set of highlighted verses, the Israelites were directed to set up three centrally located cities as sanctuary cities or cities of refuge. These cities weren't identified here, but they were identified in chapter 4, verses 41 through 43, which will be part of next week's study material. The cities were Bezer, B-E-Z-E-R, in the desert plateau for the Reubenites, Ramoth in Gilead for the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan for the Manassites. All of these cities were east of the Jordan River, because at this time the entire nation of Israel was east of the Jordan River on the plain of Moab, preparing to enter the Promised Land. These three cities would remain sanctuary cities or cities of refuge for the tribes of Reubenites, Gadites, and half-tribe of Manassites, because those tribes would remain on the east side of the Jordan. Later, after entering the Promised Land and during the process of allotting inheritance lands for the tribes that would settle west of the Jordan, Joshua 20, 7 through 9, records three additional cities all west of the Jordan that were to be additional sanctuary cities or cities of refuge. Please review your Bible skills drill for today and see the necessity and importance of these cities. I think you'll find it interesting. Our next highlighted verses for this lesson are Deuteronomy 19, 4 through 10, under the heading of grace, and they read, "Here is the law concerning the case of someone who kills and flees there meaning a sanctuary city, a city of refuge, to save his life, having killed his neighbor accidentally without previously hating him. If, for example, he goes into the forest with his neighbor to cut timber, and his hand swings the axe to chop down a tree, but the blade flies off the handle and strikes his neighbor so that he dies, that person may flee to one of these cities to live. Otherwise, the avenger of blood, in the heat of his anger, might pursue the one who committed the manslaughter, overtake him because of the distance is great, and strike him dead. Yet he did not deserve to die, since he did not previously hate his neighbor. This is why I am commanding you to set apart three cities for yourselves. If the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he swore to your fathers, and give you all the land he promised to give them, providing you keep every one of these commands I am giving you today, and follow them, loving the Lord your God and walking in his ways at all times, you are to add three more cities to these three. In this way, innocent blood will not be shed, and you will not become guilty of bloodshed in the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance." Finally, under the heading of justice, are verses 11 through 13. They read, "But if someone hates his neighbor, lies in ambush for him, and strikes him fatally, and flees to one of these cities, the elders of his city are to send for him, and take him from there, and hand him over to the avenger of blood, and he will die. Do not look on him with pity, but purge from Israel the guilt of shedding innocent blood, and you will prosper." Verses 11 through 13 deal with deliberate murder, as does our opening highlighted verse, Deuteronomy 5:17. Without question, capital punishment is a matter of debate in today's society. However, one thing is clear. The Bible's endorsement of the death penalty does not contradict the sanctity of life. The book of Deuteronomy actually requires the death penalty for our murderers precisely because human life is sacred. Taking human life is so heinous and so defiling that anyone who committed such a crime could not be allowed to live. In a violent society, human life is cheap. Deuteronomy makes the price for committing murder very high. Churches around our nation use Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, to celebrate God's gift of life and to commemorate the many lives lost to abortion and commit themselves to protecting human life at every stage. Can we do any less? Let's close with a prayer. Lord, forgive our sins and make us thankful for each and every gift you send us every day. Lord, you're the one who gives life to each of us as you formed us in our mother's womb. And we thank you for being there with us and for us. Lord, we pray that as stewards of your creation, that we may remain faithful in this sacred trust and that we constantly safeguard the dignity of every human life. We are yours, Lord. Help us to act like it all day, every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.